Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. It is Thursday, the first day of summer, June 21st, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You as a consumer can now look at a company's track record on climate change when you think about what your purchase is going to be. Global warming is real, says the CEO of Climate Counts. We have 10 years to do something about it, and we can. And business must play a significant role in stopping global warming. We believe the key to influencing companies lies in the hands of the consumer. With a scorecard that was released on Tuesday of this week, consumers have the power to make good climate decisions in their everyday purchases. Wood Turner is with us this first hour. Wood is project director of Climate Counts, which is a collaborative effort to bring consumers and companies together in the fight against global climate change. It's a nonprofit organization that was funded by Stonyfield Farm, an organic yogurt company, and America's first manufacturer to offset 100% of its CO2 emissions from its facility, although they don't believe they're perfect yet, and we'll talk about how they feel they can improve. So this is a list of companies that were chosen for their popular household use among mainstream consumers and also for leading their respective sectors from electronics to fast food. We'll look at how those fields did in this global warming assessment in terms of food service, electronics, computers, and how they made the decision as to whether or not their climate footprints were gentle or heavy. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Wood. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hello, Wood. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
So this is a chance, you say, for businesses to help improve and enhance living standards all over the world through cleaner, more sustainable technologies. They can be doing something to help the environment. It's a challenge, really, for businesses.
Certainly, you know, business has a huge impact on this issue of climate change. Business uses a lot of energy. They generate a lot of waste. They have a lot of transportation impacts, both from shipping, commuting, and other things like that. And the purpose of our project was really to shed light on the fact that businesses as a whole do have an impact on this issue, and that consumers have an opportunity to motivate businesses as a whole to take the issue seriously.
Mm-hmm. How many companies would have reviewed their global warming impact, have even looked at this issue?
Well, I can't answer that question generally, broadly. I think we're going to continue. We started our project by scoring 56 well-known consumer companies in 8 sectors, and we're going to continue to add to that list over time. Among our list of 56 companies, you know, a lot of companies have begun to sort of take the first step in beginning to look at their impact and begin reducing it. You know, there's a cluster of our 56, about 16 or so that really haven't begun to move forward at all. And for our purposes, I mean, I think the number one thing that a company needs to do first to even begin to know how it can reduce its impact on climate change is to understand its impact on climate change, to measure its impact on climate change. It's kind of like balancing your checkbook before you even know what you're spending. I think we first hope to challenge companies that have not yet taken that first step to begin doing that, and then move into our other benchmarks, which we've looked at. So the first we've looked at is whether they've measured their impact. Second, what have they done to reduce their impact? And third, what have they done to take a position one way or the other on climate-related policy? And finally, and really important for our project, what have the companies done to report on all of those activities to consumers as a whole? I mean, I would certainly applaud any company that has done work internally on climate change, has done an inventory of its greenhouse gas emissions, has begun to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions internally. But if these companies aren't letting consumers know what they're doing, then an increasingly sort of climate-conscious consumer can't make better choices based on that information.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that we've reached a tipping point here and that a vast majority of Americans would be climate-conscious consumers.
I think that's true. I think that the kinds of conversations that we're having as a society today are vastly different from the ones we were having even a year ago. I think the issue has changed dramatically for a lot of reasons, and I think we hope that our information will add a new dimension or a useful dimension to that conversation.
You also have a focus on the positive here, saying you don't have any interest in doom and gloom reporting, and there has been much of that when it comes to climate change. Do you need that we need to be more hopeful when we address this issue and sort of accentuate the positive?
You know, the project was the project is the brainchild of Gary Hirschberg, who is the CEO of Stonyfield Farm. Many people probably know that company as a leading organic yogurt producer. You know, and Gary and his company have been demonstrating for years that you can be true to your values, true to environmental values, and still do well, still do well as a business. And you know, I think that mentality, that idea, that philosophy really has an impact on our project. I think we believe that business can be a force for good in society, and that with the right information, if consumers are have the information they need, they can support businesses that reflect their own values. And I think this kind of information, climate performance, broader environmental performance, can be a tremendous way for companies to engage and have a deeper relationship, a stronger relationship with the customers that keep them going.
Yeah. I was interested in the information about Stonyfield Farm, that they are America's first manufacturer to offset 100% of CO2 emissions from their facility.
Mm-hmm.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it's a great company. I think, as you alluded to earlier, there's a lot that even a company like Stonyfield can do, and I think that was the purpose of, you know, given the fact that Stonyfield has underwritten the project to this point, I think it was important to be able to look at that company through the same lens that other companies are evaluated, mm-hmm. just to kind of see where things are. I think, as you've also alluded, Gary Hirschberg is not happy with where the company is.
I know.
And I think it's a real. I think it's an indication of how motivated he will be to sort of move forward. I think you know, there's an opportunity there for even a company like that to even have a deeper relationship, a deeper conversation about this important issue with its customers.
So, how did you decide? There are a lot of companies in this old world. How did you decide who to examine?
Well, you know, it's going to go. I mean, our database of companies is. We expect it to grow from the 56 we've started with to 560 to 5,600 as soon as we can. You know, certainly these 56 companies are well known consumer companies in eight sectors that consumers interact with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis: the apparel industry, the electronics industry, the media industry, the food products industry, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to, you know, this issue of climate change, so much of the focus is on the oil companies, the coal manufacturers, the coal producers, the auto manufacturers, and those companies obviously have a tremendous impact on climate change, perhaps the greatest impact on climate change. In choosing the companies that we started with, we wanted to begin to help consumers understand that all the choices they make every day have an impact on climate. So, you know, all of these companies do have a climate footprint and need to be. We believe they should be aware that consumers are concerned about that footprint. I think you know, how they were chosen. You know, these are the most well known brands, most well known companies in these sectors that we've chosen to start with, and we hope to grow from there.
And tell me the sectors again.
The apparel sector. We've actually looked at a subsector of the beverage sector, the beer sector in particular. Electronics and computer, the media sector, food products sector, food services sector, which includes fast food companies, the household product sector, and the internet sector.
Yeah. Let's look at the food sector for a moment, because many of us just had breakfast and we'll be thinking about lunch and look at the area of food services. It didn't really do very well. A sector, I think you say, was worst in terms of climate change impact.
You know, the food services sector is the, you know, if you look at the sector average, and I would certainly encourage people in today and then in the next few days to spend some time on our website and begin to sort of understand some of these companies' scores and how we've measured them. But yeah, the food services sector has the lowest sector average of any of the sectors that we looked at. That includes, you know, it's got six companies in it at this point, four of which are well-known fast food companies. And I think, you know, the fast food companies, I would expect will hopefully use this information to begin to move aggressively in addressing the issue. I think people don't realize that fast food companies they're in every the restaurants are in every community in our country, and they have a tremendous impact. They use a lot of energy and they generate a lot of waste, and they have a number of transportation impacts associated with moving products to and from their stores, their restaurants, and so on. And they need to be looking at this issue.
So how should they? What top three things could they do to make a big impact?
Well, you know, I think certainly, well, from our perspective, the things they need to, the things we want them to do from using our scoring system are to measure their impact first. And I think, you know, look among the fast food companies that we've looked at, the only company that had even begun to publicly provide information at all about any measurement of its greenhouse gas emissions was McDonald's of the four fast food companies. But first of all, they need to measure their impact, and second of all, they need to set goals and targets to reduce their impact over a period of time from certain baselines, from specific baselines. We want them to articulate clear goals that the public can hold them to, and certainly communicating about all of these activities to their customers is a huge piece of it. So disclosing on any activities is great, but I think, as I said, I mean, we're not suggesting to companies that we want companies to do whatever they can do to sort of move forward and start begin addressing the issue aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
These are innovative companies. They've innovated in their products, their marketing for many, many years, and we think they have an opportunity here to innovate on climate, whether that's in energy efficiency, whether they're doing considering how they can incorporate green building technologies into their facilities, other energy efficiency tools, whether they're engaged, as some fast food companies are, like McDonald's and some other food products companies are, in phasing out refrigerants that have an impact on greenhouse gas emissions. I challenge companies to push themselves to do the best they can. I think, you know, you see some companies beginning with to implement programs. I mean, while we're talking about the fast food company, you know, McDonald's is beginning to look at converting cooking oil into biofuel. I mean, there's a lot of different opportunities. I think certainly, you know, looking at efficiency in transportation is a big issue, and I think a lot of companies can begin to address the issue that way.
Wow, can you imagine how much biofuel there would be if all McDonald's converted their cooking oil into biofuel? It would be amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the question in another way then. What is it, because Starbucks ranks highest in this particular food services group with a 46, which still isn't terrific, but it's a 46, McDonald's 22, Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell at a 1. So what's Starbucks doing that Taco Bell isn't doing?
Well, first of all, as I said, Starbucks is measuring their impact. They understand what they're emitting, what the impact that they have on greenhouse gas emission on global warming. That's the number one thing that I think the number one message that I want to communicate to any company that we're scoring and have scored so far and will score moving forward. Look at measure your impact, do an inventory of your greenhouse gas emissions, communicate that to your customers and your stakeholders, and begin to implement a plan to reduce those emissions. So that's the biggest difference, I think, in the companies that appear at the top of their sectors and the ones that appear at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
is that they've measured their impact and they've begun to reduce their impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is interesting. You talk about Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Coke has been tracking, disclosing, and curbing emissions for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely, they have been and have been setting goals to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. Certainly, Pepsi has entered the conversation very aggressively recently, and I'm excited to see some of their recent announcements. I should say that our information, the most exciting thing to us is when we make an announcement, and the same day that we make an announcement about our scores, companies that we're scoring have other announcements that they want to make about advances that they're making on climate
protection. Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, for example, I mean, Google made a number of really important announcements on Tuesday. Google had, you know, didn't rank at the top of its sector, but I do think some of the things that Google has committed to doing and has just announced that it's committed to doing will really change the landscape of the internet sector, for example. And I think the same thing is true of the soft drink sector. Some of the announcements that Pepsi's recently made after we had sort of wrapped up our scoring process will really have an impact on that sector down the road, and I think it's always interesting to see what Coke and Pepsi are doing on marketing, and I think it'll always be interesting to see what they're doing on climate as well. And I think they're both clearly beginning to move to see who's going to be the standard bearer, and I think this conversation is going to change rapidly.
So you already you've had an impact because they were stepping up to the plate as soon as you made your announcement.
Well,
right?
I hope we had some impact, but you know, there's a lot of attention on this issue, and I think there's a lot of really amazing projects out there that are taking different slices of the addressing different slices of the picture, and I think I think companies are paying attention, and I think that's a great thing.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Wood, and we'll take them in a moment. Wood Turner is our guest. He's project director of Climate Counts, a collaborative effort to bring consumers and companies together in the fight against global climate change. They ranked companies with a major announcement this week and looked at various sectors where we all do a lot of shopping in different sectors of the American economy, looking at food service, looking at electronics, computer sector, looking at all kinds of companies, 56 companies chosen for their popularity. And they looked at four categories: how well a company reviewed its global warming impact, how much it had reduced that impact, how much it supported public policies that encourage the reduction, and also whether or not the company made this information available. So there's a ranking, and there's also an internet site that you can go to in case you want to go shopping with it, which is climatecounts.org, climatecounts.org. We welcome phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. Their philosophy is that business can be a potent force for good when it comes to the climate crisis. And it's a very unique business opportunity to help improve and enhance living standards worldwide through cleaner, more sustainable technologies, products, and services. To your phone calls in a moment for Wood. And did I give you the number? 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for Wood. Wood Turner is the project director of Climate Counts. 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. Tim from Eau Claire is our first caller. Wood. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest has ever looked at the chains of restaurants called Chipotle, because they're very very specific in their advertising when they start talking about how they are trying to minimize their impact on the environment by, you know, choosing organic meats, and, you know, the larger they grow, the more organic meats, the better, you know, they could pass that along to the customers.
What's the name of it, Tim? I didn't hear that.
Chipotle.
Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Tim, that's a great suggestion, and I would encourage, we haven't looked at them specifically, but I would encourage any suggestions that anyone who comes to our site would like to see us begin to look at other companies we haven't yet reviewed. The best way to help us prioritize what people want to know about is to vote and to give us those suggestions, so we hope you will. One thing I did want to make a point about is that we made a decision in our scoring to look at companies, parent companies, so the largest at the highest level of these companies, not specific brands or specific products. I think there's a lot of different work out there going on to look at the carbon neutrality of a specific product line or a specific brand, and I think that's all tremendous and great work. From our perspective, I think we'd like to see highest level decision making in large public companies begin to infiltrate all their products, all their brands, show true leadership across you know, company wide, and I think that's an important distinction for our project and other things that are looking more specifically at products and brands. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate the suggestion of Chipotle and any other suggestions like that, and we'll add them to our list.
I would imagine, and it would be very hard for you to get at this, but I wonder how we would get at this, that there are all kinds of smaller companies, and in the food service particularly, but lots of companies who have this as a very, very strong mission, and they're so small that they may be under your radar.
No question, and I think that's I should say that, you know, what we're not suggesting here that of our small subset of 56 companies, all of which are large companies, we're not suggesting or giving want consumers to feel like we're saying the number one companies in each of their sectors are the greenest companies in the world.
Right.
These are large companies that should have a large impact on the issue, and what we're trying to evaluate is what they've done to take responsibility for that impact. And so you're right. I think, you know, there are many, many companies that are socially responsible, environmentally responsible, private companies, smaller companies, more locally based companies, all of which are maybe looking at this issue much more actively, frankly, than some of these companies, and that is tremendous. And we hope there'll be an opportunity in the future for them to be included in our database as well.
Yeah. So a primary motivation for you is to get these companies to be more proactive, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd like to see, you know, our project would love to see these companies understand that there are groups like ours who are out looking at what they're doing, and there are consumers that are looking at what groups like ours are doing to kind of shed light on what companies are doing, so that companies will look at an opportunity and say, you know, there are consumers that care about this. You know, companies spend a lot of time trying to figure out what people think about what they're going to buy and what their tastes are and so on. I think one of their tastes, and what we're realizing here in the last year in particular, as this conversation has really gone to the next level, is that people do care about this issue and want to know what they can do. And so, you know, we hope that companies will begin to pay as much attention to that kind of interest from their customers as what their tastes are.
Tim, thanks so much for your call. Matthew is next from Warren, Illinois. Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to say companies like...
Oh, Matthew, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that
phone is just gone, so sorry. Call us again. Kirk is next from Lakeland. Hi, Kirk.
Hello, yeah. I was just wondering if you happen to look into the furniture industry. Obviously, the furniture industry does a lot of damage to cutting down trees, and I actually happen to work for a company that has had problems with the recycling programs, and I don't think is very responsible in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if maybe if you've noticed anything about them.
Well, what you just did, Kirk, is you just voted. That was great. So we'll certainly look at the furniture industry more directly in the future, but we haven't so far. You know, I think you raised a really important point that I wanted to address, is that, you know, our project specifically is looking at the climate performance of companies, and certainly the recycling programs have an impact on that. Whether the furniture industry is cutting down trees and virgin forests and so on, I think it's important for people to realize that there are a range of environmental issues that these companies are dealing with, whether it be their forestry policy or their water use or specifically looking at climate. I mean, I think climate is an interesting issue because it does touch on so many other pieces that so many other environmental issues that we have been looking at for so many years. You know, we are looking at focusing like a laser on what companies have done to measure their greenhouse gas emissions and what they've done to reduce those emissions. All these other activities that have that may fall into other categories certainly factor into some of that thinking. But I would encourage consumers, I hope people will look at our site and look at our information and think about how to make climate conscious decisions, but I would certainly encourage them to look for other resources to round out the whole picture of other societal mm-hmm. issues, broader sustainability issues, broader environmental issues, mm-hmm. even labor issues and animal welfare issues and all these other concerns that many of these companies are dealing with already.
Okay, I just have another really quick question. In the city that this furniture company is in, they do have a law, a recycling law, and they do not follow it.
Okay.
Who do I call or get in touch with to maybe have that implemented?
That's a good question. I mean, if they're not following the law, I would say that the community there where the company is should know about that for sure. But I can't speak to the recycling policy or law in a given community, but I would encourage you to talk to local officials about
that. Yeah, right. Talk to older people or city hall, the mayor, whatever. Thanks very much for the call. And I want to let you know that we have some lines open. They were filled, but now you could get through. The number is 800-486-8655. How did you get all this information? What did you ask to speak to people inside the company, and so you went in and looked at their books on this and had conversations, or what?
I'm glad you asked that. We really wanted to be a proxy for the average consumer. So if the average consumer was wondering about what a company they were interested in or supported or considered a favorite company was doing on climate, what would they do? How would they begin to get that information?
Yeah.
And so we use publicly available information from all of these companies. We began by looking at a body of work that companies had published themselves, that had been published to other third party resources, to find out what information we had available to build our profile and to do our scores. Then what we did was we said to the companies themselves, we reached out to all the companies and we said, this is what we found, this is what we're going to be using to score you. If there's any other information that you would otherwise provide to a member of the general public, if they also asked, we'd love to receive that. And you know what, we did get a great response from companies. I mean, over half the companies that we scored responded either by saying, yes, you've got all that we have so far, or you might also consider this information as well. Certainly some other companies didn't respond, and we hope they will in future rounds of scoring. We'll sort of engage in our process. But I think it's really important to not, for a project like ours, not to necessarily dig into proprietary information or information that you have to spend months or years on site at a company trying to understand before you can actually do anything with it. I think what we're interested in is what companies have done to take action and then report on that action to, mm-hmm. to the public. And so we are using publicly available self-reported information from these companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's important to point out, I mean, the reason we think that's central to our project is because I think if a company is willing to report publicly on an action that it's taking, then it clearly is demonstrating that it's willing to face whatever scrutiny comes from the public at large on that particular issue if it doesn't, if its claims are not true or if it's not achieving
right.
its goals and so on. So that's an important part of
right.
it.
When you look at it, Wood, it's such an all-encompassing thing, isn't it? As you say, it's much more than change your light bulbs and recycle. It when you talk about green buildings, about when you talk about materials and where they come from and energy costs associated with that, it's just it's very large for companies.
It really is a large issue, and I think that's why I said earlier, I think these companies have done a great job of innovating on how they design their products and how they market themselves. I would challenge them to begin to innovate on ways to make their operations more efficient and to reduce their emissions in a way that works for them and begins to tackle this issue of global warming. I mean, I think we're doing this because we want to do one thing, and that's be an active participant, an active force for stopping global warming. And I think companies can too, and I'd encourage them to be as creative as they can in doing that.
Now, I don't want to be too doom and gloom, because you don't want to be doom and gloom, but do we have 10 years?
You know, that's the scientists, I mean, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has said, obviously, that it's clear that human-induced climate change is real, and we must do something about it. There are scientists out there that have been talking about this issue and suggest that we have to take action urgently to stop the crisis from happening. I think at a certain point, and I'm not a climate scientist, so I'd encourage you to have a climate scientist on the show to talk about these issues. But I do.
Oh, we have.
I think at a certain point, the scientists are suggesting that there's no return from, there's no way to turn around and correct our problem. So yeah. We have to get on it immediately.
Linda from Madison is next. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this program. I have not been one that's gone to fast food restaurants at all much, and I have more recently as my kids are getting a little older. And I was totally appalled. I've been appalled at seeing these plastics, things that are served.
I know, I hate that too.
That are strong, that one would reuse and use in their homes as Tupperware, mm-hmm. and just expecting to throw them away.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally blew my mind. And if I knew a restaurant that worked to not have that, I would go to that restaurant to support them. I'm so glad you're doing this kind of thing, because I don't even know where to go to help the world.
Well, that's a great point, Linda, and I'm glad to hear the kinds of things that people are interested in finding out about, because that level of detail, our scoring system doesn't necessarily call out the fact that a fast food restaurant is still using disposable plastics. I mean, most of these restaurants and chains do, obviously. But I think that's an important dimension, and I think you're pushing yourself to the next level, frankly, to make an even deeper decision about the kinds of places that you will support, because it's about greenhouse gas emissions, it's about climate change, but it's also about so many other dimensions of that issue. And so I appreciate that, and certainly will consider how we might incorporate more details like that into our scoring as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
There is an awful lot of that in the industry, isn't there? And it's not just fast food. It's in all kinds of all this styrofoam and packaging. And if you say you don't need a bag, people look at you like you're crazy. You don't need a bag? No, I don't need a bag. I'll just carry this. Simple things of just going to the grocery store. And I think they've done something in California where if you bring your own, you need to bring your own bags now. Why don't we just do that? Sorry, we don't have bags anymore at grocery stores. You got to bring your own.
No, there is something like that in California. I think you've shed light on a really interesting point that I certainly think about. There are so many lifestyle choices that we can make to have an impact on this issue and to do positive things. And I think, those who are able to make choices between disposable bags and cloth bags, or will actually change out all their light bulbs to combat fluorescence, and will consider taking transit as opposed to driving their cars everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all tremendous activities, and I would be the first to encourage those as the most important thing that we need to be doing to address this issue. But I do recognize that our lives are complex. Our lives are we are convenience driven in this society, and we have to get places, and we have to get there fast. And I don't want to be. I think that your point about our doom and gloom scenario, we're not suggesting that people sort of necessarily go off the grid. I mean, I applaud that choice for people, but I do think that we are a consumer-based society, and our motivation here is to help consumers make better choices, and to make it clear to them that is a way of engaging on this issue. But with your choices and by letting companies know that you're paying attention to their climate impact, you can make a difference on this issue.
Yeah. Well, would you factor in, you mentioned transit and how few of us take buses to work and how bad most of our transit systems are in many places in this country. If a company were really encouraging the use of mass transit and perhaps paid for transit as part of your salary, would that be factored in? Is this one of the global climate blueprints?
Absolutely.
It would be. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, in particular, if there are strong programs that companies have to educate consumers, educate their employees about transportation choices, and even better, to give them incentives to use public transportation, we certainly acknowledge that.
Okay. Let's go next. Thanks, Linda, for the call. Cynthia from Madison is next. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. I certainly appreciate everything that you're saying, and I, too, am looking at making deeper decisions and recognize how convenience-driven I am. And I was listening to another wonderful program about green choices one day when I was cooking, and I looked down at the bag of organic spinach that I had purchased from a very large-scale, national, upscale organic food stores that we have in Madison. And it said, product of China.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was floored.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The organic house brand of that chain. Oh, I'm nervous speaking. Excuse me. But I just, my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Certainly that's, you know, I think in keeping prices low, I think a lot of companies have done that, and you know, whether it's specific to different companies, I don't have anything particular to say about that today, but I do think you know, if a company is is for whatever reason engaged in you know, the global economy in that way, and it is a global economy, what we're encouraging them to do and what we're challenging them to do is to make sure that those operations around the world are incorporated into their understanding of their impact. So.
Yeah. I mean, think of the fuel it took, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
To get all the way to Madison from China. Wow. So did you talk to anybody, Cynthia?
I'm telling everyone I know.
You are now.
Right now. Yeah.
Thanks, Cynthia.
I know that they're assessing the green impact of their buildings, but my goodness, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to buy things that I don't absolutely have to buy there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have one thing I have to buy there. I haven't found an alternative, but boy, I'm not buying anything else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our number is 800-486-8655. Wood Turner is our guest this hour. Wood is the project director of Climate Counts, which is a collaborative effort to bring consumers and companies together in the fight against global climate change. It is funded by a nonprofit organization. Well, it is a nonprofit organization funded by Stonyfield Farm, the organic yogurt company, a company which has made reducing greenhouse gas emissions one of its goals, and they have offset 100% of their CO2 emissions from their facility. So what's happened here is that on Tuesday of this week, 56 companies were publicly ranked. They were chosen in various sectors, food sector, clothing sector, electronic sector, and looked at what their imprint was on the climate in the world. And then they were ranked on a score from 0 to 100. Nobody did very well on this, but it's a call for business to be a force for change here, for making decisions in terms of what the global warming impact will be, and letting consumers know that there are companies who are taking this seriously and can do their shopping accordingly if they so choose, which would be a good thing for the earth. So we're welcoming more phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, did you know, this was news to me, that this whole home storage and organization business, these container shops, you know, I go and buy a lot of containers. I got stuff. I'll admit it, I got stuff. Well, it's a huge business, and we're going to be looking at our attachment to items, and the emotional attachment we have will go all the way from cluttering, messiness, to hoarding. Our guest is the co-author of Overcoming Compulsive Hoarding, Why You Save and How You Can Stop. She has been involved in the treatment of anxiety disorders and depression for over 20 years. So we'll talk about storing and containers and getting organized and why we're having a hard time with all of that. And some of it isn't bad, I think, because you can save things that you had 10 years ago, but you will use them again. Sometimes we won't, but sometimes we will use them again. The other part of this is people who buy stuff to buy stuff to buy stuff. They have a lot of stuff to buy. There are rich people who have two houses, and the second house is filled with just nothing but stuff. All right, let's go back to phone calls for Wood Turner, Project Director of Climate Counts. And we go to, is it Cynthia next from Madison? Cynthia? No, I'm sorry. We go to Betty from Osseo. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Kathleen, and thank you for the program. Very, very important to call attention to this issue. I just wanted to tie it in with, and by the way, I just got in from the garden getting spinach and onions and all that thing.
All right, good for you. Good for you.
Anyway, I'd like to tie it in with the July 7th live Earth concerts around the world on seven different continents to try to bring people together. And what we were thinking is we would have our own little music and bring people together and talk about global warming and share ideas, such as this gentleman so wonderfully is sharing with us, and about how we can, you know, do things to cut down on our footprint and just share a lot of ideas about shopping and about how to avoid some of those products that take a lot of petroleum and energy, and mm-hmm. then they end up in a landfill someplace. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's enough emphasis put on the live concert. It'd be great if you'd do a show on it, because the whole idea is to call the whole world together to reflect on the enormity of this problem.
Yes, yes. Well, we will look at that as a show. Wood?
You know, Betty, I think that's such a great point, and I think Live Earth is going to be a tremendous event, and we're really excited to see it coming up. What you're saying is such an important way to almost wrap things up today, is that, you know, we're all focused on solutions now. I mean, I think the science is in. I think people recognize that this issue is real and is,
yes.
and is something we need to be concerned about. It's not worth. We're past the point of sort of wondering whether it's actually happening and trying to figure out what it is that we can do. And there's so many pieces of this, so many dimensions to it. And we're one of those, as are some of these other solutions that we've been talking about this hour. I hope that this conversation will just continue to get more and more interesting. I think our project is very... We don't want to reinvent the wheel that other organizations are doing. There are tremendous organizations that are already out there communicating about solutions. We just want to add another solution. And I think the more solutions people have, the more we can all engage on this.
Right. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go next to Claire is next from Cedarburg. Hi, Claire.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I'm calling about the bunker fuel that's used in the shipping to bring all those very nice products that we enjoy from China. But the ships use bunker fuel, which is the most polluting fuel there is. It's the low end of the oil spectrum. It's mostly like crude, and it emits more SO2 and NO2 than all of our trucks and trains and buses and cars in this country do.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's an important point. I think it's, I would encourage if that's an action that a company can take to begin to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions, and they can make that choice and innovate and find innovative ways to address it. By all means, I think that's a tremendous way to begin addressing this concern, this issue. Like I said, there's a lot of different things that companies can do, and I think as companies begin to take stock of what their impact is, they'll be things at the top of their list that will certainly need demonstrate real action sooner than later. So mm-hmm. that's a great example.
Well, in some ways, you're taking on a huge, huge thing here, aren't you? Because mm-hmm. if we're focusing on China here for a moment, the world does business with the world now. Cars are made, you know, parts here and parts there, and we're importing so much from other parts of the world. It seems to me as though you almost have to change your philosophy here and look at not only what's good for business in terms of profit, but that companies are simply going to have to look at global climate, at this issue, which could really dramatically change the way that business is done in the world right now. And that's a big thing. I don't know if the world is ready for that.
Well, you know, I only consumers can really define that, I think. If consumers suggest that they're ready for it and want to hear more from companies about these issues, then I think companies will respond. As I said, if companies only think that we're concerned about what are you know, how things taste or how things work, and not how things were made and how the company operates, then that's what we will continue to hear from companies. But if we tell companies that climate change matters, you know, I think I'm very hopeful that we're at the beginning of seeing real change on the issue. And I think some of the companies that you've talked about earlier that we haven't yet scored, the green companies, have already demonstrated that they can have that kind of conversation with consumers.
Yes.
That consumers do want these things, and that those companies can provide those to consumers, and consumers will continue to support those companies and push those companies forward in terms of success.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Claire, so much for your call. We go next to Susan from Green Bay. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was fascinated by your conversation. I consult with companies about how to make green products.
Oh, you do? Great.
Yes, and I've just written a white paper on reduced packaging minimization, plastics made from corn, so you have less worry about the biodegradability. Also, there's a discussion about being more profitable by making green products, even with reduced packaging. There's some studies showing that consumers are responding and like the products. I just saw an ad for Heinz ketchup saying use larger bulk packages so you buy less small bottles of ketchup. And in order to foster that, they've designed the large bottle to be easier to hold, more ergonomically, you know, handy, able to fit in the refrigerator. The same thing with laundry detergent. So if you buy a larger package, you're using less plastic. So there are a lot of things happening out in industry, and we're trying to advise them on what their options are.
Why don't you send us some information, Susan, about what you're doing? Could you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I'd be happy to.
All right. Send it to Rhonda and to me, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk at WPR.org.
Okay. Yeah. I just attended a sustainability conference and talked about biodegradability and packaging, so I'd be happy to.
Great. Wonderful.
There's a lot of encouraging news.
Yes. Great job, Susan.
Thanks, Susan. You got to love this audience, don't you, Wood? I mean, these people are involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go next to Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
Hello, Chuck.
Yeah, good morning. I've been listening to your phone call or your conversation here, and this is kind of a related thing because I think there's still a lot of people out there that don't want to be thinking about conservation stuff because oil has always been there.
Right.
And I read a book called The Long Emergency by James Kunstler. Have you heard of that?
Sure.
And what he's saying is basically once we do run out of oil, which is maybe 100 years from now, or when oil gets really expensive, he lists the things that we won't have anymore. And it's absolutely frightening what's going to happen when we do run out of oil. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
You've made the point as well as I could make it. I mean, I think you know it's an important thing for people to be aware of, people to think about. I think you know you see this issue transcends politics these days, and I think it's you know whether we're talking about national security or economic development or environmental concerns. I mean, people. There's a lot of different ways that people are engaging on this issue, and I think, as far as I'm concerned, it's anything that it takes for people to engage is great. You've made the point. Well, I think we need to be aware of what companies are doing and the way that we as consumers engage with those companies to move toward greater action as a society I think it's the only way to guarantee that we're gonna have the future that we all dream about.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. To Jerry next from Bloomer. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I'm wondering if you guys have looked at Walmart as a company at all. In high school, I wrote a report about the effects of Walmart on the gas prices because when you look at it, they ship raw materials from here to China. Materials get produced. Then from there, they get shipped to distribution centers here. Then they get shipped to the different Walmarts, and then you also have to look at the employees that work, you know, the several hundred employees that work at a Walmart, and traditionally they would have worked at places in town, and Walmarts are normally on the outskirts of town, so they use quite a bit of fuel there as well, and I know fuel consumption is directly related to greenhouse emissions.
Yes. All great points, Jerry. You know, the retail sector is certainly one that we are going to begin looking at, and hopefully we'll be putting out some information about that sector as soon as we can. But it has a tremendous impact on this issue,
sure it does.
And Walmart's one of those companies for sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. You ought to send that study to a magazine, Jerry. You should,
yeah.
Really. Yeah. Get it printed.
Yeah.
Get it printed somewhere.
It's been a couple of years, but I might be able to dig it out somewhere.
Yeah, do an update on it. Thanks for your call. What was the response, if any, from the companies who were way at the bottom of the list you released on Tuesday?
You know, I think there's been some response in the media the last couple of days from some of those companies suggesting that there's more work that they've been doing that hasn't been reflected in our scores. And, you know, that's tremendous. I think I really look forward to hearing from companies in the weeks ahead and hope that they'll provide us with more information. We used the information that we could find that the companies were reporting. And I think if we can motivate the lowest companies on the list to move quickly to begin reporting on their inventories, reporting on what they're doing to measure their impact, and begin to articulate strong strategies to move forward in reducing their impact, that's fantastic. And so if companies are doing more and they're doing more internally and haven't told the world about it, haven't told the public about it, please begin doing that, and we'll take a great look at it.
And the next ranking comes out when, Wood?
We're beginning to move forward with another ranking, another scoring, and hope to have that released by the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us. Interesting hour. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Wood Turner, Project Director of Climate Counts, and the website, in case you want more information about all of these companies, and you can download pocket-sized shopping guide by going to climatecounts.org, all one word, climatecounts.org. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to Jerome Owens for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thanks, everybody, for all of your wonderful calls. Be sure and let us know of the efforts that you have going on throughout the state and beyond when it comes to this particular issue, because there are many shows that can come from this show, as you know. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return with more First Day of Summer Conversation on the Ideas Network.